The internet, scary place. I get it. If we were scamming people, we would not have all these reviews. Like, people don't scam and last long nowadays. I was like, if you just give me the address, which most people do, then I can give you an offer. And he's like, I don't want to, you know, waste the time. I was like, let's just meet in person. We went back and forth.
Oh,
and
literally, yeah. You wanted to meet in person to give us the address.
Yeah.
You were like, great. Because like,
let's meet at a restaurant, like at a Denny's, and like, I'll whisper it to you.
I'm Denny's. Like, dude. Yeah. And I'll whisper it to you. That's how we got that Dane Cooks.
I was like, but yeah, what if you like give us the address and then we run the numbers and like we're way off on the price you want? Like, what happens then? He's like, well, yeah, I'd probably say no. And I was like, well, yeah, like then we'd be wasting each other's time, wouldn't we? Dude, we're just like 35 minutes in the conversation. By the end, he's like, well, this has been a big waste of time. I was like, yeah, you could have given me the address on minute 5. What are we doing here, dude? And then he actually gave me the address at the end of the combo because I won his trust because I'm a normal human being. And yeah, we were way off on the numbers after I comped it, and that was it.
So we're here, episode number 7 with Open House with Steph, and I've got some very special guests today. One is physically here. One is on Zoom from California. But we've got Alex and John with Brotherly Love Real Estate. We're going to talk all about real estate investing, and hopefully some crazy stories, which is going to be super fun. So why don't we start with you? Tell us who you are. Tell us how long you've been in the business. Tell us where you live. That'd be fun.
Sure.
Just shoot the shit.
Well, have plenty of stories for you. So,
I can't wait. Can't wait.
So John Sanborn, co-owner of Brotherly Love Real Estate with my boy, my partner, Alex.
Nice.
Both of us born and raised in the Poconos.
Yeah.
Made our way down here to Philadelphia.
What year did you guys come into Philly?
I came in 2011 to Temple.
Nice.
Temple University. And then Alex was a year after me.
2012,
I guess. Yep, 2012. Both graduated in 15. And then,
babies.
Yeah, I know. I stuck around here, and then Alex went to Sunnier Skies and to California.
Nice, very cool.
Yeah.
Tell us how Brotherly Love Real Estate like came to be a thing.
You want to take that one, Alex?
I know. Where to start?
Is hard.
Say it again.
What's that?
I said it's like, where do you start with that question?
Yeah, where do you start? Right. So back in the womb. We were just trying to figure out
all the way back.
How do we get rich? No.
Yeah.
You know, John and I both had subpar, whatever, paying the bills, entry level gigs out of college.
Yeah.
Not the most fulfilling thing. Trying to figure out life, looking for a direction, trying to figure out what we want to do and how to get out of this rat race.
Yeah.
I was teaching these dudes at car dealerships on how to use software that didn't want to hear a peep out of me, didn't want to hear a word out of my mouth. John was working at a discount grocery store, chasing people who were stealing shrimp out of the shrimp aisle, out of the stores, and like all sorts of stuff.
Crazy stuff.
Oh my God.
Yeah, true story. And funny thing, John's allergic to shrimp. And he was literally chasing someone who stole shrimp.
I know. Crazy.
Wow. That's hilarious.
Yeah, what a guy, right?
He's
literally chasing someone who stole something that he's allergic to, but he's like, no, for the store.
It's fighting crime.
So, you know, sign of a good partner right there. That's why I was like, hey, that's, you know, my guy.
So funny.
But yeah, we both read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. We're like, okay, this kind of makes sense. Financial independence, rental properties, buy a couple. And you're golden and you can sit back and you get mailbox money and, you know, right off into the sunset. We did find out a harsh reality of, you know, when you have expenses on a rental property, like a mortgage. And then also when you own properties in Pennsylvania, specifically Philadelphia, that are older, they're built in, you know, 1,000 years ago.
Literally 1,000 years ago.
Things break all the time. Yeah. So anyway, that's how we got our start. And we were both just trying to tool around how we're going to do it. John was, you know, he's more familiar with Philly. I was familiar with Philly. John moved back to Philly. We're like, let's just try and buy a spot together. We came across an opportunity on, I think it was auction.com. It was like on the MLS, but it was also on auction.com. So it was like up for a bid.
Yeah.
And we had zero. We had hardly any money. Pulled in two other partners.
Nice.
Went in on it together. And that's how we got our start.
That is a great story. And what? Yeah. So how old were both of you guys when you bought your first investment property?
That would have been 2017. We were probably 24.
That's,
if I had to guess, something like that,
Give or take. That's pretty cool. And this is a loaded question. Did your families think you were like crazy? What kind of feedback were you getting from your people, from your network?
I don't even think I told mine. They don't know what I'm doing.
Bought a house.
Yeah.
Nice.
Same. Yeah. It was just like, we're just going to do this thing. I think I told them a couple years ago or years after, and they were like, oh shit, or can I care so much?
How long did you guys keep your full-time jobs before you could comfortably actually call this a career?
Yeah, great question. It was a little different for both of us. So I got licensed as a real estate agent.
Nice.
At very beginning of 2017. So that's when I quit my W-2 job.
Okay.
I was working at the Target on City Ave over here.
Okay.
Just as like a mid-level manager and hated it.
Yeah. Yeah. It
was like when I was quitting, the manager was like, are you sure you don't want to stick around? And he was currently, when he was saying this, like stocking diapers.
Oh.
I was like, bro, no, I don't want to be stocking diapers the rest of my life. Like, make $100,000 a year, but like, I'm not doing this.
Right.
So got licensed 2017. That's when we bought our first Burr property, the buy, mm-hmm. you know, rent, whatever, refinance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Repeat.
That's bigger pockets, right?
Yeah. That term, whatever. So anyway, that was 2017. I just stayed licensed the whole time. So that's kind of been my, I guess, between 2017 and I'd say like probably 2021, that was where I made like the most of my income. And maybe probably until 2021, until we started really taking off.
That's really cool.
Yep. And then Alex's was a little different.
What was your story?
Well, we were doing it part-time together for a while, John and I, and then had a travel sales job. COVID happened. Travel took a massive dump, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Sideways turn, yeah.
People were not getting on planes to go places. So kind of just, lost my job. And we were already doing it part-time together and just trying to do some flips and some more transactional stuff to also pay the bills alongside the rental property.
Okay.
Things that we had going on. And then that's when, 2020 for me is when I jumped in full-time.
So this is like not that, it's a like relatively new business.
Relatively.
Yeah.
I mean, we like formalized it in 2019.
Okay.
But like Alex said, he wasn't full-time until COVID. So COVID was almost like a blessing for us because that kind of forced Alex to take the leap full-time into the biz. And then that's when we really took off.
I think COVID, obviously there was a lot of horrible things, but I think sometimes you need like a crazy scenario to show you what you're capable of and to like just kind of force that next step of, okay, we're going to do this.
Absolutely.
You just don't have any other options.
Yep.
So are you both licensed?
I'm licensed in California.
Cool. And what percentage of your business is Philly, California?
No, 100%.
100% Philly.
Right now.
Well, like 95. Yeah, we're doing some national stuff marketing-wise to all states in the industrial space. So we're looking for like warehouses, flex space, things like that.
Yeah.
I've only done one deal, but trying to do a lot. So.
What about flex and industrial space is appealing to you as opposed to, I think what people think about, being a landlord and investor, they're like, I'm going to buy a property and rent it out to my friends. But that's a whole different pivot. What about the industrial space is appealing to you guys?
Yeah, good question. Bigger properties, so maybe a bigger margin if we're doing a flip.
Yep.
That was definitely something that kind of caught our eye. Okay. Also just dealing with so many headache tenants in Philadelphia over the past 12 months or so. Having one roof and like a solid, like, I don't know, business, like a Walmart or like just some company that you can really rely on that is your tenant also sounds quite nice.
Yeah.
Triple net lease, putting the insurance, taxes, and especially repairs on the tenants is something that is really, for me, where I'd want to be if I'm going to own some more properties.
What are your degrees in? What is the education you guys have to have such what I think is like a really impressive business?
I graduated with marketing.
Okay. Any finance?
Alex was entrepreneurship.
Entrepreneurship, yeah. Okay.
Right on the nose.
I think that is just like such, I don't even know, just such an interesting perspective because I think a lot of people assume that you have to have all this experience. But really, I mean, and not to sound like David Goggins, but you really just, if you work hard enough at it, you can figure it out.
Oh, yeah. You're constantly learning. I mean, there's stuff that we're learning this year with our taxes where we're like, oh man, we need to like, we need to learn this better. Like, and we're this many years into the business. So
for sure,
start doing it and mess up and then learn and keep going.
I have a really good accountant who's also heavily involved in real estate. If you need her name, we'll give her a shout out.
All right. Sounds good.
Nice. So speaking of learning experiences, tell me a few of them. Tell me a few of these crazy stories.
Oh man. I don't want to lose the audience because some of them are pretty long.
we can always edit.
Oh my gosh. I mean, just in this world of real estate, especially that, like what Alex and I, our niche is with working with people who are always, they always seem to find themselves in kind of oddball, wacky scenarios. Like
always.
They inherited a house, they inherit the house and there's a squatter in it. Or they, you know, just all these weird, like, hey, I lost my job. I need to move to Louisiana in like 2 weeks. Yeah.
Right.
It's like, okay, like, here we go.
Right. So, the people part of the job.
Yeah, the people part of the job. So you're always running into just interesting and oddball scenarios. But, I mean, do you want to like the specifics of what we find in houses?
I think just, like, I would like to know what's like the craziest house that you've seen. And are there any homes that you like truly regret buying? Are there any deals you really regret?
No, we've never bought anything that I regret.
It's good to know.
Yeah, I don't think so. But you, Alex?
Never a regret. I mean, I can say that from behind the screen in California. John's the one trudging through these places.
Fair.
Because he's a saint. So, you know, I can't smell the smells he's smelling on the day. But, you know, no regrets.
He's like, yeah, it looks great. I'm on the beach. We're doing fine.
Yeah. He's out surfing.
Yeah.
And I'm like standing in sewage.
Been there.
Yeah. No regrets buying anything. What was the other part of the question?
What's like what's the craziest house you've bought that you've seen? You're like, I don't know why we're doing this.
We did one recently. So owner, he inherited the house. He lived in like Northern Jersey or New York or something. He had like a really well-to-do job. So money wasn't a thing. He was like, look, just make it easy on me. Whatever you can get me, you know, get me. I really don't have time to like come down and show you the house in Philadelphia. So like, if you can just throw me an offer. So we just did totally sight unseen over the phone. Like I checked the city website, no violations. Did a drive by. It looked fine from the outside. You know, I'm looking in the windows and stuff, and like, all right, looks fine. We close. So like, you know, make the offer, sign the paperwork. 30 days later, close. And at closing, he did come down for closing. Gives me the keys. He's like, all right, here you go. I walked in. I started walking through the house, and the kitchen was just in the basement. Like. The first floor was like gone pretty much.
Oh my!
I was just like, whoa! You totally forgot to tell me about this,
yo.
Because he said like, oh, it's structurally fine. Like I was there. Like my nephew was there 6 months ago or something.
Uh huh.
So that was unfortunate. That wasn't the worst house I've ever seen, because there's been houses where I've seen that are worse. Another one that comes to mind is from the outside looked fine. The front looked okay. All had all the windows and door, and I walked in and there was. No roof and no back wall and no second floor, actually. It was just like three walls. That was it.
One time I got a phone call in this like random house I had listed, and this chick was like, does your house have a roof? And I was like, who asks that? But I guess I get it now.
Yeah.
I was like, why? I like wanted to really indulge in the conversation with this person, but I was not sure they were of sound mind, but you know, I'm like, I would like to know about your experience because you're asking me this question.
Sometimes they don't come with roofs.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
And so how does it work when you guys buy a property? Are you looking at it from a perspective of holding them, or are you always looking to flip?
We'll look at them anyway, but mostly flip right now anyway. It's just easier to make the numbers work, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it is hard to make the numbers work on the rental stuff.
Right.
Which is kind of why we're transitioning to just doing more direct.
Industrial.
Yeah. Direct marketing to like industrial owners. We're actually going to start adding in like small apartment complexes too. So it'll still be on the residential side, but it'll be more units. So hopefully more scale. And
how many units have you guys, or how many projects have you done? How many deals have you done?
Last year we did like a little over 40 transactions.
That's acquired
and then flipped out of
and flipped in the same year.
Mm-hmm.
Holy moly.
But I will say we're not doing the whole like fix and flip model. It's more just like buy, clean out, then sell. Or like buy, clean out, clean up, like hire a cleaner, come in and like do a deep clean and then sell. So it's a little bit different of a model. It's not necessarily like the whole like we're hiring the contractor and the GC.
Yeah. I was going
like,
to say.
Not doing that.
Interesting.
Yeah. That would be crazy. That would be like 40 flips, like 40 fix and flips would be.
I was like, where's your staff?
Yeah,
that's
no.
Insane.
Yeah, that'd be way too much.
Okay, and so where do you find your deals?
This man right here.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're the
people find us.
The brain
very here. Fortunately, you know, it took
people
a while to get
you.
There, but SEO is probably the bulk of our leads today,
we
which is
talk.
Great. So people search their issues on the internet, typically
yes.
Google, sometimes YouTube. And yeah, we're usually one of the first websites to pop up if they need to. Like people type in their exact issues. It's pretty cool because we get to see like what the exact thing they search. It's all, you know, part of Google and they spit out that data for you on the back end. So you'll see people say like, sell my house with squatters that burned down yesterday. And then I built the back, like all the whole diary that they type into Google, you get to see, which is helpful because then we kind of know like what people's needs are, what people are searching, and we can, you know, tailor our content toward that and help them find us a little better.
So if there's anybody that's, you know, listening to this podcast and is like, yeah, these guys sound like a good fit. Well, I guess a good question is like, what is the right deal for you guys? What does that look like?
Typically something that does need work that is like pretty beat up or clogged with a bunch of crap.
Okay.
Like we don't really want, you know, a move-in ready house because it's hard to monetize, make money.
Sure.
So,
but like with a kitchen or a kitchen in the basement?
I mean, hey, we would look at anything. It does have to be priced right though. Like,
fair.
You know, like thankfully with that example, like the offer I made, it was low enough where one of those big issues could be in there and we would still be profitable. So
nice.
Like we were able to flip out of that and be profitable.
Nice.
So, yeah. But yeah, ideally like dated, needs a clean out. Maybe has a problem person involved, like a squatter, or like a problem tenant or something.
Huh.
Yeah.
And you feel like Philly is got that.
Philly has plenty of those.
I don't even know what the word is.
Problem properties.
Philly's got it.
Yeah.
For better or for worse.
No shortage.
Well, listen, real estate is like a people business. And
yeah.
People need to buy and sell for all sorts of reasons. And you know, sometimes they're embarrassed of the condition of their house. They don't want it to go on the market. They just want to sell it to somebody like you guys.
Exactly.
So where do you find where are most of your deals being done? What neighborhoods of Philly?
Probably the ones you'd expect. You know, Rittenhouse, Chestnut Hill. No, I'm kidding.
I was like, what? Say what?
It's your face. No. Like,
guys, jokes.
North Philly, West Philly.
Got it.
You know.
Okay.
Some South Philly.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Yeah.
This is like an cool, because this is the first time I've really heard of this concept. Would you guys consider yourself wholesalers?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. That's how we probably flip out of maybe half of those transactions.
I was going to say.
It'd be like just on a wholesale assignment or like buy it and sell it in the same day. Or some of them are like buy it, clean it out, get the cleaner in there, and then put it back on the market.
I have a property that I bought. It's just a lot. I joke about this a lot. Haha. I didn't mean to do that, but I do joke about it. And it is in Grace Ferry, which I'm really bullish on, frankly.
Okay. All right.
And I bought it through a wholesaler.
Okay.
I think it was New Western. New Western. Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Do you guys do any stuff down there?
In Grace Ferry? Yeah. We actually have a lot for sale. I guess it's almost Grace Ferry at Point Breeze. I guess it's Grace Ferry. Yeah.
You have a lot for sale right now?
Mm-hmm.
What's it priced at?
Like 45K. Super small. It's like barely buildable.
Ugh.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
You don't want it.
No, I definitely don't want it.
No.
I bought a lot because one of my builders that I work with was buying a property in the area and selling them. And I saw what he was doing. And I was like, I'm going to go buy the next one.
Yeah.
Why not? Okay. Just see.
So what, you bought it and you're just like sitting on it right now?
Just sitting on it. It's not the best investment, but you know.
That's all right.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. We have a couple of those too.
Yeah.
Just buy them. You're like, I don't know. I'll figure this out later.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So what does the process look like when someone finds you? What are the next steps? Communication.
Pretty quick and simple.
Yeah.
John and I both get a text on our phone. Once, you know, someone fills out our form on our website, we'll just get a ping real quick. first one to the lead, gives him a ring. We try and get him with, you know, give him a call within the first 60 seconds if possible. And then, it's, you know, we've been doing it for so long at this point. Fortunately, you know, we're able to save John a lot more time than we used to. You know, we're not sending him on meetings where right. he's going to go spin his wheels or just right. like, you know, drive across town when it's not worth it. We did a lot of that, you know, a couple of years ago, but at this point we're pretty good at vetting just like, okay, this can work for us or it can't. And then just yeah, learning about really the person's needs and like timeline, I think are big ones, you know, we'll dive into the weeds with them. A lot of people, right, it's their first time selling a house or they inherited the house.
Right.
They don't know what to do with it. They have seven siblings. They're only in contact with four of them.
Oh my God.
And at that point, John literally puts in his investigator hat on and we're like searching people's names and numbers on the like online, trying to find them, giving them a cold call. First being like, you know, your sister Rachel's trying to sell the house. Well, I don't know if that's what that is. Like, literally, it's crazy. John, how like half of John's job is like investigatory, like let's make this actually even a sellable home, let's get everyone on board, and then maybe at that point we can potentially have a deal. So yeah, we've done lots of different shifting, and John's climbed plenty of family trees and shaken the branches and, you know, tried to make things really made a lot of deals happen that I think we would turn down in previous years, and John's like made it happen, which has been pretty rad.
Yo, kudos to you.
Thanks. I did think of a really good story that Alex just reminded me of.
Go ahead. We'd love to hear.
Okay. So this is a fun one. So I was at a past seller's house. He was like, hey, we had sold a few of his houses a couple years ago in South Philly. This was up in the Northeast. He was like, come over and, you know, check out my house, see what you can get for it for me. I was like, okay, sounds good. So I went to the house. I was meeting him, his roommate, and his roommate's friend. In like 2 years of like not seeing this guy, he got really weird, and the roommate was really weird. It was a very awkward, not fun meeting. But the friend of the roommate was like the most normal one there, and I was like kind of talking to him, and he was like, "Oh, actually, my buddy's wife's mom passed away. You might want to consider this house." And I was like, "Okay, sounds good." He's like, "I can't remember the address though, but I know where it is. I'll show you." And I was like,
get in the car with the changer.
So he gets in my truck and we're driving to his house. We're, you know, talking, whatever. And we do get to the house. He's like, okay, yeah, here's the block. Here's the house. So he was right. And we peek in the windows and it looked clogged, full of stuff and pretty beat up. And I was like, okay. He then gives me his buddy's wife's phone number.
Uh-huh.
I just call her out of the blue, like, hey, this is how I got your number. You know, yada, yada. I kind of know a little bit of backstory. And she's like, hey, look, I would sell you the house, but I hate my siblings and I'm not talking to them. I'm not even giving you their information. If you could figure it out, I am down, but good luck finding the other two. And I was like, okay. So
she even give you the names?
Yeah, I think she gave me the name of her sister, but not even her brother.
Wow. That's so sad.
Yeah, it was sad. So I was like private investigator, Dr. Phil for like a couple months, like finding. I had to like find the sister, break the ice, find the brother, break the ice.
Like, and not know that someone had died?
They knew their mom died.
Okay.
Yeah, but just none of them were doing anything about with the house. It was like a couple years just sitting there empty.
Yeah.
So they were just like, you know, it's fine with me if the other freaking two, blah, blah, blah. You know, they all would like
bicker.
Hate on each other. But like I was the like
the glue.
Intermediary, yeah, that they were able to trust. And yeah, we ended up closing on that, and it was we probated the estate. We fronted for them to probate the estate. Like, we hired the attorney.
Right.
He did the whole thing for us.
Right.
And then finally, you know, whatever, X amount of months later, we were able to close on it.
Was it worth it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for you guys. Nice. And you're actually like really helping people.
Oh my gosh. I guarantee the house would still be sitting there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did each sibling get like their designated amount?
Yeah, I think they all made like $30,000. They're not doing anything.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Huh, look at you guys.
Yeah.
Saving people's days.
A lot of those we end up doing, and it's a process. But yeah, it's like Dr. Phil meets private investigator meets like real estate people.
I have a good friend who does something like that as well. His name's Joel Garfinkel. I don't know if you know him at all,
no.
But he does a lot of Delco
stuff,
some Section 8,
mm-hmm.
In that area. And it's a puzzle.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a puzzle.
It's like a real life game.
How do you guys handle and battle? Because I struggle with this often, is like,
I would imagine people think you guys are scam artists all the time. Maybe not.
So this is funny. We don't usually get that, thankfully. I think it's because like we're not doing a lot of outbound marketing. Like we are to the larger industrial stuff. And, you know, some people obviously give you the rude responses every once in a while, but like not a lot. But yeah, hardly any off of our website, because they're coming to us. They see our like over 60 five-star reviews on Google. They see like Alex and I on the website, our YouTube videos. But Alex, we had the lead last week or over the weekend that...
Oh my God.
Yeah. This was so
that
funny.
Was a night. That what was happened? So annoying, that phone call. I was like, I also hadn't eaten that day.
Yeah.
It was
crabby.
Like noon by me. I was sitting in the parking lot about to go into the grocery store Saturday, the grocery store, trying to shop for the week. Phone call comes in. It's off our website. Pick it up. Oh my God. This dude, I was pulling my hair out. He would not give us his address for the house he wanted to sell. He's like, yeah, you know, like, I know that you guys, I see all your reviews, but like people just, you know, I just don't want to get scammed. I don't want to get a lot of phone calls, whatever. I'm like, and I was very understanding for the first 15 minutes of the call. So I started getting real hangry. And I was like, sir, totally hear you.
Sir.
The internet, scary place. I get it. If we were scamming people, we would not have all these reviews. Like, people don't scam and last long nowadays. I was like, if you just give me the address, which most people do, then I can give you an offer. And he's like, I don't want to, you know, waste the time. I was like, let's just meet in person. We went back and forth.
Oh,
and literally,
yeah. He wanted to meet in person to give us the address.
Yeah.
You were like, great. Come like,
let's meet
California.
Let's meet at a restaurant, like at a Denny's, and like, I'll whisper it to you.
I'm Denny's. Like, dude. Yeah. And I'll whisper it to you. That's, oh my God, that's out of Dane Cook.
I was like, but yeah, what if you like give us the address and then we run the numbers and like we're way off on the price you want? Like, what happens then? He's like, well, yeah, I'd probably say no. And I was like, well, yeah, like then we'd be wasting each other's time, wouldn't we? And I was like, you can just give me the address because I don't want to waste your time. I respect your time, sir. And he's like, dude, we're just like 35 minutes in the conversation. By the end, he's like, well, this has been a big waste of time. I was like, yeah, you could have given me the address on minute five. What are we doing here, dude? And then he actually gave me the address at the end of the combo because I won his trust because I'm a normal human being. And we were way off on the numbers after I comped it, and that was it.
Well, if I'm being honest, I thought your email was a scam to me. So I was like, where are these guys? Then I was like, I'm so sick, I can't even figure it out. Then I was like, oh, that's so nice. I thought you were asking me to be on your podcast. I was like, neat. No, I was like, no, they're asking me to be on my podcast. And I was like, huh? I was like, why? And I was like, this isn't right.
That's hilarious.
But here we are.
Wait, so why'd you respond if you thought we were a scam?
Well, because you wanted to be on my podcast. And I was like, like every lead, you never know where it goes. I actually got a lead to so I have this shitty website on host. The website's beautiful, but the algorithm, the whatever, it's through just like a real estate platform, and it's, you know, not doing me any favors, except for it does bring in some entertaining messages. And I got one that was like, I'm not sure if this is real, but you just, as in, when you're in our industry, like you never know.
Yeah, you have to roll with it weed out any. Yeah. Yep.
And, you know, sometimes people hear about me and then they Google me and I have, you know, a relationship with someone that they know, but maybe I don't know them. And it's, you know, the only thing I have in this business is my reputation. Anyway, I got this lead. Where was it? From, it was basically, you know, damn, hang on.
Yeah, you got to find this now. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Luxury lead. I don't know. This chick emails, you know, it's like every real estate agent's dream. They're like, hi, I see you online. And you're like, okay, this is working.
Yeah.
And you're like,
I see you.
And she's like, I want your, if I read it verbatim, and we'd be better, but you know, here we are. I can't find it. And it was basically like, I'm looking for a house in Manayunk under 2.3 million. I hope you can be of my
every house.
I hope you can be of my assistance. Something, something, something.
Yeah.
So then here's step one for me. I always take the phone number that's left and see if I can actually text it through an iPhone.
Oh, yeah.
And it worked.
Yep. Okay.
It worked.
Okay. Real number.
I was like, hi, this is Steph. I got your lead. Or yeah. I got your inquiry. Like, this is my process. I really do require us to talk for a few minutes on the phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then the next test. Great. Send me a few times, dates. I'll be amenable to them. And I'll send them a Google link so I can see their face.
Yeah, nice.
For 10 minutes. And, yeah. You know, I will also say this, like, whether it's just being a professional or whether it's vetting out if something's a scam, the one thing that's a huge pet peeve of mine is when people are disrespectful to my time.
Yeah.
And this, I moved a meeting to make it work for this person, and they, I confirm, I sent a Google thing, I confirm, hey, sorry, the time change really screwed me up.
Oh, this was yesterday?
Today.
Or today, yeah.
Today. I was like, great.
Really screwed me
up. I said, thanks for letting me know.
Yeah.
Where do we go from here?
Yeah.
Where do we go from here?
How's your budget? $2.3 million, but you can't keep track of time.
Well, I also think some, you know, yeah, I mean, I have a lot of thoughts, and I work with so many people all across all different price ranges, but I'm very clear about this. I don't work with people who are assholes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't work with people who do shitty things,
mm-hmm.
and I really need people to follow a plan. But yeah. I will let you guys know if this lead works out. Yeah. Be like, guess what? I just sold this $2.3 million house in Manayunk. Just kidding.
They bought the whole
whole town.
Yes. Here's the neighborhood.
But yeah, I've also gotten some crazy voicemails on my phone. You know, damn, when your information's everywhere.
Yeah, you don't know where.
Just ask for it. And I get that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I digress. But those, I think you like that.
Those are great tips, Steph, that I never thought of doing those things to write, like, vet out if the person's real. And that I bet that does save you tons of time to
it
vet
does,
out big ones.
There are a lot of scams now. I mean, title scams, mortgage scams.
We got the QuickBooks scam. Remember
what?
That one, Alex?
Yeah.
What was that? That was recent for us, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, we use QuickBooks for our accounting and taxes and stuff. And yeah, it's just like really legit looking phishing emails where it's like they take the logo, they paste it, they do this, they that, and you know, they're trying to get you to click the link, and that puts a virus on your whatever, steals your stuff. They called us. And they said, hey, your credit card stopped working. We just need you to, you know, re-enter it or re-give us the credit card.
No.
So we can bill you monthly because we get billed monthly. And I'm like, you know, I don't know. Like, I feel weird giving it over the phone, whatever. Yeah, so we went back and forth. But like, and it ended up being a scam. And I was like, let me call QuickBooks support team back.
Yeah.
Make sure. And then, you know, I'll give it to them.
That's
and
all you have to
they
do.
They kind of boogied after that.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Gotta be careful out there.
You do have to be careful out there, but especially in this line of work that you're doing, all this investigative work, like breaking deed or title or mortgage fraud.
Yeah, there's a lot of deals, not a lot, but because we've gotten better at it over the years of like, do you use Philodoxidom? I love that website. Super useful. It's the online, it's a recorder of deeds online. It's like their website.
No, I use Office of Property Assessment.
Okay. Yeah.
But
so similar.
Philodox, I haven't.
You have to pay for it, which is annoying. There's a free version, but it kind of stinks. So, but there you can go on there. You could see every deed change, but then you could see all the mortgage docs. And it has like the actual mortgage docs. You could like read through. If there was like a Liz Pendez on the property, like if someone's tying it up in court, you'd see that.
Damn.
So it's pretty helpful. You could like see the actual deed. So then if you were like, that signature does not look like, or like whatever, that notary, like that's a big one. Like the notary was expired. And it's like, well, that was probably a fraudulent notary stamp or a fraudulent, you know, there's something weird going on there. So that's the kind of stuff we look for now. So like,
damn.
Yeah. There's that. Yeah. There's a lot of things. This is another good story. Someone tried to sell us last week their adverse possession position. Did I tell you that, Alex?
No.
So he calls and he's just like, hey, this property I identified in my neighborhood, it's like abandoned. And I moved in like year and a half ago, but I want to leave. But you know, I know what it's worth. And I'm just like trying to figure out what exactly he's getting at. And then he's like, well, you heard of adverse possession, right? And I was like, yeah.
For the
like
people, tell everyone what
adverse possession
is.
Would be if you identified a piece of land or an actual piece of property and it was looked abandoned, and you started paying the taxes on that. And then there's a bunch of other things you have to be like
maintaining the property.
Maintain the property, yeah. If it, like, change the locks, I think Be Hostile is one of, or not Be Hostile, but like something about like putting, you know, keep out signs or something like that. And then, yeah, pay the taxes, whatever, kind of occupy the space. And if you do that for a certain amount of time, you can have like a legal right and a real legal interest in the property.
That's crazy.
And I think in Pennsylvania, non-attorney, I don't actually know, I think it's 21 years. In other states, it's like 3 years. I think Texas is like very minimal. So anyway, he wanted to move and sell his like 1.5 year. Basically, he was just a squatter for 1.5 years and wanted to sell his position. And I was like, dude, this is not the business we're in.
Also, like, you don't what? Like, no. Yeah.
I was like, dude, this property just sold like a couple years ago. This guy's definitely coming back for it. I'm like, sure, it's empty now, but no.
So we didn't make him an offer?
No, we didn't. No, we did not make him an offer.
Oh my God.
Not for us. He understood.
Okay, that's good. That's good, at least.
I should have actually messed with him and been like, dude, this is a sick piece. Like,
I got someone. I got a guy.
Yeah, I'll you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I would have felt bad.
So what advice would you give people who maybe are experiencing the same thing you guys went through, like kind of, you know, out of college, been in the workforce, not really loving what their situation is? What would you tell somebody?
Great question. Got anything else?
Try stuff.
Just try.
Try stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, trial and error. Key and try to first like define what you, if you have an end goal, whether it's financial goal or lifestyle goal or a mix, try and define that and then find a path or try and identify a path that can get you there. Network with people who are already doing it and killing it, try and add value to them.
Yeah.
And then just play around with stuff and see what you don't hate, see what you hate the least that can pay you the most.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you guys like really love what you do?
For the most part. I mean, it has its days. I mean, obviously, I would rather go, like, kayaking and fishing, you know.
Fair.
I love that way more.
Yeah, yeah.
But, no, yeah, if it's something where it's, we can have a regular life and help people along the way and, you know, help the city not look like a piece of junk one house at a time.
Yeah.
You know, kind of works.
What about you, Alex?
Same. Don't love every inch of what we do. Definitely hard parts, frustrating parts, but sure. I mean, working for ourselves and working with each other as good friends. We've known each other since we were 5.
Oh my God.
That part is pretty dreamy and pretty stress-free. And it's like, yeah, it is helpful. Even when we are stressed, we have each other. You know, we're not doing this alone, which is scary, running a business by yourself or whatever.
Yeah.
So those parts really do kind of outweigh everything else that is tough.
Yeah, totally. What's the future look like for you guys? Do you think you're going to hire more people? Do you see a different direction of your business? I know you talked about industrial.
Yeah. If there's any transaction coordinators out there that want to join Brotherly Love Real Estate, let us know.
I bet there are, actually.
Or an executive assistant. I think that's what we need probably the most, is just someone to like help keep us organized.
Yeah.
Transaction coordinating. I pretty much do all of it for us now. And it's something where it's like I need to let someone else, yeah, handle that.
I could probably help you with that. I have some good recs, sure. Okay. I'm also looking for an executive assistant.
Yeah. Just like, it'll be so
helpful. I'll keep you posted on how that goes.
We can split one.
Actually, that's not a bad idea. Yeah. All right, I just interviewed someone today, to be continued.
Yeah.
So what's on the – oh, here's a good thing. What are you guys thinking about looking forward? Here are some big questions that I actually – really would love your perspective on, because it's a different perspective. Interest rates, the market, the economy, tariffs, like how does all that maybe play a role in your business? And what do you guys generally think, or how do you think all those things are going to like impact real estate? Loaded question.
Yeah. As far as like on the, like the lead side, like there will always be people that need to sell their house.
Yeah.
And it'd be, whether it's like the, we're in more of the like as is cash, or you're more like on the retail side, like that's always going to be a truth, which is helpful.
Sure.
I think. So if you're on like that side of the coin, I feel like we get impacted a little less.
You do. Your business probably goes up.
Yeah.
If the economy isn't doing great.
Yeah. I would agree that like for us, we're kind of insulated, thankfully, which is good. Now we're going to obviously be capped or not be able to sell a property for as much.
Sure.
You know, to either a buyer who is going to do the fix and flip or an end user who's going to live in it. So, like, we'll be, you know, won't make as much then. But as far as, like, the lead flow, that probably won't slow us down all too much, which is good.
Yeah. What about the economic environment? Like, if tariffs come into play, you know, do you think that'll take a toll on your specific business?
Alex, you want to take that one?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what you said, John. It's like when people really need to sell, they're going to sell no matter what, even if it's not for a price they're stoked about, just if they need to get out of a situation. And it's the resale side that I guess will be more impacted on, right? Yeah. If like people are just scared, it seems, right now in the economy with the tariffs and whatever. And like, you know, real estate's also been on a tear, maybe not like the past year or two in Philly, but like, you know, 2010 to 2020, overall up. So it's like what goes up must come down and it'll go back up. So people might be, and with the new administration, people are probably holding their cards a little more and just, you know, not deploying as much into the market or holding back a little bit. So those are all realities that just in real estate we are experiencing right now. It's hard to say though. I think people are just kind of waiting to see what the real thing is. And, you know, a lot's being said by administrations and being put into place and then taken back. So it's very much like a wait and see period. It seems like.
It's so interesting because in real estate, there are so many facets of it. Like what I do is so different than what you do. Mm. And like, I look at a market differently because the consumer is different.
Right.
But there's one constant, which is people typically sell when they have a life change. Like people who need to sell.
Yep.
And, you know, in my world, in the resale world, you know, sellers are doing incredibly well. But even some of them, like, there's this story being told that every seller out there in the world is just trying to make the most amount of money. And it's just not the truth. Yes, that is part of it for a big group of people. But a lot of times people just need this to be kind of done. They need help. They don't know what to do. They've never sold a property before. And it's stressful. It can be stressful. So no matter what the market does or what the administration does, to your point, that will ring true in all markets. And I also think because of the access to social media and the news 24/7, I just think consumers are like a little easier to, I don't know, it's almost like we all in unison just like make a decision and like halt collectively. It's like, did you see what happened today? And everybody's very reactive.
Right.
But it's like, think about it. We had a national, like international pandemic where I was apparently breaking the law if I was showing a house.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I remember those times. Yeah.
And then it's like, wait, what about that? Did that happen?
Are you seeing a lot of people looking to sell that bought in like end of 2020 or like, especially 2021 or maybe the beginning of 2022 that bought at a certain price and are now selling at a lower price? Have you seen a lot of that, or are they like barely breaking even kind of thing?
Depends. Yes. I'm not seeing a lot. Like I probably do about 30 deals a year. So my city people who bought in like 2020 or like 2019 or whatever, they're just like naturally making that next move.
Yeah.
And they don't have to sell.
Right.
Because they have that low interest rate. But they would like the parking, or they want the yard, or they want something else because they're going crazy with their two kids, you know?
Yep.
And some people, here's actually a more interesting trend is I'm seeing this more in the suburbs. It's like people bought in 2023, 2024, and they're selling. It's like because the mentality was, and I appreciate what I'm about to say is not for everybody, but those buyers that were so desperate to get their kids into school with historically low inventory, I mean, we're at a deficit of almost 2 million units nationwide. They just said, we're going to buy the house now. And when the right house comes up, we're going to jump.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And I feel like you probably do more in the suburbs than we do. But if they bought in, say, 23, there's a chance they could sell in 25 and still
do great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not like the city. The city is not seeing that.
Right.
The city, unfortunately, yeah, I got into this business in 2011. My very first sale, I watched a seller bring like $100,000 to the table.
Whoa.
I was like, I don't get it. I thought you make money when you do this.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
And your first one.
That was also, it was my first closing.
Whoa.
And that was also with a mortgage company that like went belly up and they couldn't find the mortgage.
Yeah. Okay. We've had that problem before too.
Yeah. You're like, it's lost.
Yeah. It's just like, you're like, wait,
how do you lose a mortgage?
Yeah.
Like,
it's just crazy to think about like some big bank or whatever, some big rich person would just be like,
actually I'll send you guys a podcast. It was crazy. It was like, I think it was the New York Times did an article, or maybe it was like the Business Journal or something. It was fascinating. It was called, it was titled like Ghost Mortgages or something.
Yeah.
And I don't know that,
but
I got to say, it was crazy. This story about basically when you put a property in arrears and you get these notices and how these companies were really predatory at the time. Crazy things happen, but I would say to answer your specific question, I'm not seeing people do that in droves, but I am seeing people like, yeah, they're choosing to exercise the, yes, I will move to the suburbs. I will move to the bigger house. I'm going to give up my lower interest rate. But man, I'll tell you, we still don't have enough of them. There's like 3 months of inventory in the city at most price points.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So do you guys have anything I can sell? I got some buyers.
Maybe.
I'm kidding. And yeah, I actually have a multi-unit that, you know, I think is interesting too from that perspective. Like typically when the stock market isn't doing as hot, which it's been a little volatile over the last couple of days, you know, people do tend to run to real estate because it's a safer investment. However, if you fear that the income faucet's about to be shut off because of your job, you're just not making a move.
Yeah.
And we've, you know, been hearing a lot of that in the news. So who knows?
Yep.
Anywho, what other parting thoughts do you guys have, or anything that's helpful that you think anybody here that's listening should know about you guys?
Parting thoughts. Don't be afraid to try things and just go for it.
Yeah.
If you're a beginner, and then, you know, try and enjoy the process. If you're in the thick of your career and you're trying to grow and it's, yeah, got no time to do anything, just try and enjoy it. Like work-life balance. And, you know, it's not worth getting too stressed out about. We're all just here living.
So. I'm going to take your advice.
Yeah.
He's a California guy. It's easier from the
Yeah, side. You're very zen over there. Yeah. It's nice. You are wearing an Eagle sweatshirt, right, so that's fine. What about you?
Yeah, I guess to echo Alex. Just if you're thinking about not even getting into real estate, but just doing anything.
Yeah.
You know, some planning, learning, and then jump. Don't just stick in that planning and learning process forever.
Cool. And if people want to reach out to you for real estate stuff, how can they do that?
brotherlyloveproperties.com.
Cool. Thank you guys. This is so fun.
Thank you.
You'll have to make a trip to Philly.
Awesome.
I'll take everyone out to dinner. It'll be fun.
Young John!